chapter 24, verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Tell the person next to you, "Peace be with you." Sagutin mo rin siya. "And also with you." All right. Good, good, good. Hallelujah. This is shalom, all right? This is shalom. This is the way Jews greet each other. They were startled. This is so funny. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And they were all startled. Okay. Don't you see the humor here? "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened. I just said, "Peace be with you." I said, "Peace." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations." Everybody say, "All nations." "Beginning at Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for being here in our midst. We thank you for Holy Spirit that you have sent him to empower us. I pray, God, right now, again, send us a fresh message from heaven, something that we can hold on to, something that we can live by. The glory will always be yours, in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. The title of the message is this: Mission, Bringing All Nations to Jesus. That's our mission, bringing all nations to Jesus. Jesus said, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. He did not say that the preaching of the gospel will be to some nations. He said all nations. Everybody say, all nations. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Just let that sink in right now. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. God wants all people saved, regardless of color, regardless of creed, regardless of nationality, regardless of status in life. God wants all people saved. Maski yung pinaka-kinaiinisan mo pang tao, kung may kinaiinisan ka pa rin, sana wala na. God wants all people saved. Our neighbors, some politicians, no, all politicians. He wants all people saved. And if you will just let that truth sink in, that actually gives the church a big assignment. Our call is to not let any person who come our way, who cross our path, not one should leave without even hearing the gospel from us. That's our mission. There is nobody else who can speak in behalf of God except the body of Christ. That's why we are the body of Christ. I don't think Buddhists will preach Jesus. I don't think Muslims will preach Jesus. Confucianists will not preach Jesus. Satanists will not preach Jesus. Christians will preach Jesus. And that's us. Tell the person next to you, that's us. Our mission is to bring all nations to Jesus. Which is why I just so appreciate the way that the kingdom of God is being advanced by our area pastors. I love my area pastors. I'm telling you, they're doing a great job. They're doing a great job. Yung pinakabata po natin, not necessarily by age, the one who's the latest to be added to our roster of area pastors. FYI, our area pastors would be, there's Pastor Allen. He gets to handle south of Luzon. There's a Pastor Ray. He gets to handle Rizal and the nearby provinces. There's Pastor Ruel. He gets to handle Bataan, Zambales, and then going up north. And then I also assigned to him on interim basis Visayas. There's Pastor Jenner. He gets to handle Pampanga, Tarlac, and then going to La Union, and going up to Baguio. There's Pastor Mervin. He gets to handle Mindanao. And there's Pastor Edward, whom I assigned to go for Europe. And he's been very busy. He's been very busy discipling people. And like what I told you, the last one to given birth to would be our church in Norway. I mean, we have a huge assignment. Huge assignment. Our mission is to bring all nations to Jesus. Now, I may be talking in terms of cities. I may be talking in terms of provinces. I may be talking in terms of nations. But then again, there are people who are living with us and they are included in the plan of God for salvation. Sino rito may mga tao sa paligid niya? Taas ang kamay. You know what? If you're not raising your hand, it's either you don't understand Tagalog, which is what I just mentioned, so you didn't raise your hand. You did not. Ay, nako. Oh, John, what will I do with you? So, anyways, the question went, who has people living around you? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah, good. All right? You have people living around you. I want you to know this. Those people are loved by God. And God wants them saved as well. They may be your office mates. They may be your schoolmates. They may be your neighbors. They may be total strangers. But God has His eyes on them. And God wants them saved as well. So the question for us today is this. How do we reach all nations? I love the way Benny Hinn puts it. He's saying it's winning all nations one soul at a time. And if we will just do that, I mean, look at the number that we have today. Let's just peg it at 300, all right? If each one of us will win one soul, this coming week, you have 7 days, or 6 days na lang, so that on the seventh day, you're back here, all right? I don't want you to be absent on Sunday. Well, I'm trying to win a soul on Sunday. Be here on Sunday, all right? Try to win a soul Monday to Saturday. If all of us will just go win a soul within the week, where do we place them? Well, we can place them in the 8 a.m. We can place them in the 5 p.m. The point is, we need to win souls for Jesus. So, the question that we will be answering today is, how do we win all nations to Jesus? Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Everybody say, preached. In the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. People, understand that. Because many Christians are just waiting for the end of the world. Jesus is saying, hey, the end of the world will never come until the ends of the earth has been reached for the gospel of Jesus. So let's not be talking about the end yet. Because there is a barometer right there as to when the end will come. The end will come when this gospel of the kingdom has been preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Everybody say all nations.
All nations.
So until all nations have been reached, the end will not come. See, God is fair and God is just. He will not want to put an end to the world until everybody has had a fair hearing of the gospel. He wants all of these nations, He wants all of these people. Now understand, when we talk of nations, it's not just geopolitical nations like the Philippines or Indonesia or Malaysia or Spain or Canada. When the Bible speaks of nations, the Greek word is ethnos, E-T-H-N-O-S, where we get the word ethnic, which is to say these are the different tribes of people. Like within the Philippines, we may all be Filipinos, but within the Philippines, there are different tribes. Yeah. FYI, when we had our Mindanao pastor's retreat, and we have 32? Tama ba ko, Pastor JV? Do we have 32 pastors? No, no. Who was with me in Mindanao? O basta, I'm telling you. Maniwala na lang kayo sa akin, alright? Lolette, how many Mindanao pastors do we have? 32? Yeah. Okay. So we have 32 pastors. Of the 32 pastors, I want you to know we have at least 3 tribal pastors. Really good. Whenever we do our interviews and we get to find out, oh, you're from this tribe. Oh, you're from this tribe. You're from this tribe. So, some of these tribes I have not even heard about. But it's just so wonderful that the gospel of Jesus is reaching even these tribes for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So we have this assignment. Tell the person next to you, we have an assignment.
Amen.
Sino sa inyo rito nagkaroon na ng assignment sa school? At ginawa niyo yung assignment. So when you went to school, you were so happy. And you know what? There's no fear, there's no anxiety. Because you knew you did your assignment. But what if you did not do your assignment? And then it's school time. Teacher's here. Get your notebooks out. Get your homeworks out. We're not so excited to face the teacher when we know we have not done our assignment. And I must say that that must be one reason also why some Christians are not so excited about the Christian life. It could be because we're not doing our assignment. Some of the most excited Christians that I know are the ones who are doing their assignment of sharing Jesus to others. That is an exciting life that's just full of adrenaline. Let's go for it. Good word, John. Where was I when I know. But where was I when somebody was asking, does Pastor Hiram know that person that he's talking to? Where was that? Okay, so I was in GCF. I was in Ortigas. We attended the seminar, the two of us, Ate Lolit and I, we attended the precept seminar of K. Arthur. And there was this old man who was obviously walking with pain, and he was holding on to a cane. He was walking. I crossed paths with him, and I said, you have a problem with your legs. I was not prophesying, okay? It was obvious. And then he says, yes, I do. Is it arthritis? It's arthritis on both knees, and there's also this pain on my lower back. And I said, because he was on his way out just to get his coffee, and then he was going back. I said, when you come back, can I pray for you? And he said, oh, sure. So he came back. I got to pray for him. There were some people who were asking Ate Lolet, does Pastor Hiram know that guy? All right, I did not know that they were asking about it. But eventually, when I returned to my seat, Ate Lolet was asking me, do you know that person? No, because they were asking if you know that person, because they said that that person is masungit. I said, no, I don't know that person. Okay, they were just asking, no, I don't know that person. I just offered to pray for him. And the person, after I prayed for him, I said, check it out. And he said, the pain is less. And then I asked him to stand up, and he stood up. I said, walk it out, and he walked it out. He said, pain is definitely less, but there's still a bit of pain. And I prayed for him again. There's still a bit of pain. But after that, he was just saying, thank you so much. That was really good. That felt really good. And they were asking still, do I know the person? No, I do not know the person. But one thing I know is that God has given me a deposit inside of me that I can share with someone. And it is something that is in all of us. Tell the person next to you, it's in you. You have an assignment. To whom much is given, much is required. And I want you to know, church so blessed people. Even if you're not church so blessed, but you're here right now, so you're part of the audience. God has given to you a deposit of His Holy Spirit, and He wants that you use that to fulfill your assignment of bringing the gospel to all the people of the world. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's answer the question. How do we bring all nations to Jesus? Number one, it's in verse 36 down to verse 43. Okay, so they were still talking about this, talking about Jesus resurrecting. Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. Everybody say, hands, feet. Sinurito, my hands, taas hands. Okay, sinurito, my feet, taas. Okay. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. Tell the person next to you, touch me and see. Oh, sige, touch. Oh, wow, you're not a ghost. Okay? A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? Because Jesus was trying to prove to them, hey, I am not a phantom. Some religions would like to think, and they get to teach others, that Jesus was not really resurrected in the physical form, that it was just a phantom that the disciples were seeing. There was a phantom, like a ghost, that was appearing to them. No, Jesus is saying, hey, touch me, my hands, my feet. And Thomas says, oh, look, even my side. Siguro si Jesus macho. Because if he's not macho, I don't think he'll say, touch my side. Oh, Lord, there's Bill there. Just my hands, all right? Just my hands. Why would Jesus tell them, touch my hands, touch my feet? And then, is there fish? Is there something that we can eat? Why was he doing that? He's telling them, I'm for real. This is the physical body. Now, the first point is this. How do we fulfill our assignment? Release his love. All right? Release his love. I'll try to make a point here, all right? Release his love. That's from verses 36 to 43. Release his love. Now, by showing the disciples his wounded hands and feet and eating fish, Jesus was showing them that it is possible to incarnate love. Love has to be incarnated. What do you mean by incarnated? The root word of the word incarnate is carne, carnal, meat, flesh. We cannot just be talking about love. Hey, let's love people. Hey, let's love people. Hey, let's love people. Love has to be expressed in the physical. Like we cannot just, well, let's love those people. Let's love those people. But those people are looking for some form of love. Hey, how do I know I am loved? Just like what Heidi Baker would always say, love looks like something. And the way for this world to know that we have a Jesus who is for real and that the gospel that we preach is for real is when they feel that we genuinely love them. We cannot just be telling people, you know what, we love you, we love you, Jesus loves you, God bless you, when they do not feel any form of love coming from us. And it starts in the house. Starts here. We cannot be reaching out to the people outside when we don't love the brethren. Amen. Starts with us. I've always said this. And the reason why I keep on saying this is so that you will also find it in your heart to do the same. People, it is my goal to be able to look at every person in this planet and I can say to that person without blinking an eyelash, I love you. I want to be able to face every person in this planet and say, I have nothing against you. I love you. And it should be the same for all of us. Because if we get to be choosy and selective about the kind of love that we give, I will love you if you're nice to me. I will love you if you don't hurt me. Well, guess what? You're in this world. This world will hurt you. And sometimes what's even more disappointing would be when brothers and sisters in the Lord get to hurt us. But then again, let's go past our disappointments and let's just love still. Ano sabi ni Jesus? Love your... If you cannot love the brother, then love the enemy. The enemy brother. I mean, let's just love each other. Now, baka may mga mukha na nagpa-flash ngayon sa isip niyo. Oh, naman eh, si pastor eh. Pastor, you don't know what that person did to me. You don't know what you're saying. Read, sorry po. And I want you to know, ani sorry po, that's my book on inner healing. It's actually a book on inner healing. The reason I wrote sorry po is so that, there are some people who are struggling with unforgiveness. They may say, like, I have forgiven you, but then when they get to meet the person who hurt them, there's still unforgiveness. You know how you know if there's still unforgiveness? If the memory of the past still hurts you, and you cannot even enjoy being in the same place with that person. Andun siya? Andun siya? Di ako pupunta. You're having a problem. You know, I've always said this, this church is a safe place. It's a safe place where we can love people. It's a safe place where we can forgive people. And once you're done rehearsing love inside this place, go outside, rehearse that same love to others. We need to release His love. Amen. As far as it concerns you, this is what the Apostle Paul said, as far as it concerns you, live at peace with everyone. He did not say as far as it concerns them, because the reaction of people towards you, that's beyond you. Nakuha niyo yung sinabi ko? Tagalogin ko. The reaction of people... Ganito po yan eh. Yung response ng mga tao sa iyong pakikipagbati at sa iyong pagmamahal ay hindi mo hawak. If they reject you, there's nothing that you can do. But your releasing love is within your power. And your releasing forgiveness is within your power. You're releasing love to those people outside, it's within your power. So what is within your power, that you can do. Amen? So, limbawa, balik ako kay example ko kanina. Masungit daw yun eh. Ah, so? But I offered to pray for him. And then he felt better. And then he was so thankful. And he was grateful. And every time I pass by him, he smiles at me. I did not feel the sungit. I felt the love. Why? Because I gave him love. You give love, goes back to you. If people don't like me, that problema nila yon. I love them. Are you getting this? Everybody say, I love everyone. Except. Wait. I love everyone except the devil. Okay, good. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Oh, everybody read, go. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. What is our compelling force? What is our compelling force? It is the love of Christ. Now, what is the love of Christ? The love of Christ died for all. And if the love of Christ died for all, that means if the love of Christ is our compelling force, we get to love everyone. We get to love all. Again, everybody say, I love everyone. I love everyone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Number two, let's move on. Verse 44. So the reason again, the reason why Jesus showed them his hands, his feet, and he tells them, come on, touch me. And then he asks for fish. He's showing them it is possible. We can love and we can make love be incarnated. We can love in the flesh. People will know they are loved in the flesh. It's not just by talking. Let's not just love in talk. Oh, love ko na yon. Oh, love ko na yon. Forgive ko na yon. Ika nga ng isang makata na nabasa ko, talk is cheap. Ha? Huh? Okay ba yon? Si Florante yata nagsabi nun. Let's not just love in words. It has to be incarnated. It has to be incarnated. And you know that it has incarnated when you can love everyone, talk to anyone without even thinking, eh, sino ba siya? Ano bang atraso ng taong ito sa akin? No, I just love you because the love of Christ compels me. Amen? Number two, let's move on. Verse 44. He said to them, this is Jesus telling his disciples, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Basically, what Jesus was telling them is, this is what I told you, everything that's written in the Old Testament. Because that's how the Jews divided the Old Testament. They have the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Alright? Or the poetry. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Number two, how do we win the world? We win the world by releasing his love. Number two, we win the world by releasing His Word. We need to release His Word. People need to hear. People need to hear the gospel. Now, just a bit of teaching here. There are three words here that you can find in the New Testament, but basically they're just translated as word. Okay? The three words would be graphe. Everybody say graphe. Rema, logos. Sometimes they're translated as word. But these three actually refer to different things, but they're all the word. What's the graphe? The graphe would be the scriptures. You have your Bibles with you. That's the graphe. The Bible, the written word, is the graphe. All scripture, graphe, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, so that the man of God may be equipped. That's the graphe, the Bible. Who carried a Bible with him or her today to church? Maski na cellphone lang, pasayahin niyo ko, please. Okay. Personally, I still prefer the hard copy. Hard copy. No. I prefer the hard copy, like the pages. I make lines, I highlight, I make notes. Itong hirap sulatan. Magagasgas. But that's the graphe, all right? The scriptures. Now, what about the rhema? Rhema would be when the graphe, the scriptures, come alive in your heart. You will be surprised that most of the times that we get to encounter the word, it's not really the graphe, or the third word would be logos. Alright? Putahan muna natin yung logos. Everybody say logos. Alright. For those jotting down notes, rhema would be R-H-E-M-A. Alright? Rhema. R-H-E-M-A. So this is what happens. We are reading the graphe, the scriptures, the written word, the Bible. We're reading the Bible. And as you're reading the Bible, something jumps up. Don't take that literally, alright? Hoy, san yung Bible na ganun? I like that Bible, something jumps up. Alright? No. The rhema would be those words or those promises, those commands, insights that come from your reading. Whoa, that's powerful. And then you highlight them. That's the rhema of God for you. Okay? What about logos? Logos would be the word. And that's Jesus himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. The whole Word, graphe, the whole Word, the whole Scripture, is all about the Word, Logos. Which is why Jesus, when he was talking to the Pharisees, he said, you search the scriptures. You search the scriptures. And yet what you do not know is that the scriptures talk about me. You search the graphe. What you don't know is that the graphe talks about the logos. You search the word. But what you don't know is that the Word talks about the Word. Now, the Word, Jesus, because He is alive, speaks to us. And when He speaks to us, He releases rhema. So when Jesus was encountering Satan in the desert, He tells Satan, hey, man, does not live on bread alone, because Satan was tempting him. Hey, if you're the Son of God, you turn these stones into bread. I'm telling you, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word, the word would be rhema. We need a rhema every day. Because the rhema, which comes from the graphe, feeds us with the logos. We need Jesus every day. And the way that Jesus feeds our spirits would be by giving us rhema from the graphe. Are you getting this? You learned 3 Greek words today. Graphe. Kala nyo, pang ano lang yan? Pang mathematics? Graphing paper. Pastor, ang graphing paper, pang airplane. So, what about releasing His Word? This is the lesson. If you are feeding yourself on the Word every day, you get a rhema every day. Don't just read the Bible for the sake of reading the Bible. Kasi tatanungin ako na nagme-mentor sa akin, did you read your Bible today? No. Don't end with that thinking na, I need to read it kasi pastor might ask me. No. Read the Bible because you want to encounter the Logos who will give you a rhema. Amen? Now, the moment you get that rhema from God, understand this, that rhema will be burning in your heart. Which is why you leave the house with a mission. Why? Because your heart is burning. Can we show them Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 9? Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 9. Everybody, read, go. But if I say, I will not mention him or speak anymore in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. What happens? You read the graphe, and in the graphe, you encounter the Logos who gives you a rhema. And this rhema is like a fire shut up in your bones. You meet someone, and Jesus is telling you, come on, share the good news to him. This is like fire shut up in your bones. Lord, ayoko po, nahihiya ako. Lord, ayoko po, natatakot ako. Lord, baka i-reject ako. But his word is like fire shut up in your bones. You cannot hold it in. Indeed, I cannot. So you say, sige na nga, Lord, magsishare na ako. And before you know it, that person's name has been written in the book of life because you obeyed the Lord. Hallelujah. Release the word. Tell the person next to you, release the word. Huh. Pastor, kasi hindi ko pa memorize yung Bible eh. I have a confession to make. Hindi ko pa rin po memorize yung Bible. But guess what? You can use one verse to share the gospel. Lots of verses in the Bible that you can use to share Jesus. I got invited to speak in the Actors Guild a few years back. And I was thinking, what would be the best way to share Jesus with them? And the Lord told me, use that verse that's known to almost everyone. What's the verse that's almost known by everyone? John 3:16. So I just dwelt with John 3:16. And when I started reciting John 3:16, they were reciting it along with me. So I said, oh, you know the verse. Of course, most Catholics do. They know John 3:16. So I started with John 3:16, and I just dwelt on that verse. And by dwelling on that verse, for God so loved the world, you know, God loves you. That he gave his only begotten son. Oh, God gives. God gave his only begotten son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Oh, God saves. So God loves, God gives, God saves. I just dwelt on that one verse. Next thing I know, many of them gave their lives to Jesus, a Savior and Lord. Just one verse. Like you can use Romans 6:23. Jesus wept, Pastor. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. I mean, just one verse. Release the word. Release the word. Some of us may be thinking, it is, Pastor, it's complicated. It's not. You will be surprised how hungry people are to hear the good news of salvation. And you carry it. Amen? So we have two lessons now. How do we bring all nations to Jesus? What's number one? Release his love. Number two, release his word. And number three, verse 48. Verse 48, Jesus tells His disciples, sino rito? Disciples of the Lord, all of us. You are witnesses of these things. See, we're the genuine Jehovah's Witnesses. You are witnesses. Pastor, totoo ba? Are we Jehovah's Witnesses? Yes, we are. Woo! Not only that, we're the real Iglesia ni Cristo. Hindi yata magandang pakinggan ang kahayram. Ang tawag siguro diyan ay karaming. Raming. Okay na. Hey, may dagdag ako. This is the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. I mean, we are saints living in the last days. We're the genuine ones. But most especially, this is church so blessed. So, yun na lang. Tama na. Enough. Pastor, what about? Tama na. Verse 49. You're witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, we all know that the Gospel of Luke was written by Luke. Talaga, Pastor? Yeah. And Luke, he's also the writer of Acts. So if you want to see the continuation of the story, you jump from Luke chapter 24, verse 53, and you proceed to Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Because that would be the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. So when Jesus tells His disciples, hey, this is what you do, all right? I'm going to send you the promise of my Father, but you stay. Tell the person next to you, you stay. Okay? You stay in the city until you're clothed with power. And then we proceed to Acts chapter 1. And Jesus tells them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And this is point number 3 for us. How do we bring all nations to Jesus? What's number 1? Release His love. Number 2, release His word. Number 3, release His power. That's how we win nations to Jesus. It cannot just be with words, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. There has to be demonstrations of power. Release His power, and Holy Spirit is a prerequisite to this. The church cannot do any powerful witnessing without Holy Spirit. We may be trying to win people to Jesus. Well, trickles may be coming in. But let me tell you this, when the power of God is demonstrated, people will take notice. Indeed, God is in our midst when they see demonstrations of the power of God. Yesterday, I was, like what I told you, I was with some Methodist people. And I was reminding them how blessed they are for having a godly and spirit-filled heritage in John Wesley. John Wesley would be the founder of the Methodist Church. And it is so noteworthy that John Wesley, when he ministered, he was unlike the other preachers of his day. He was unlike the many other giants in church history because his ministry was marked by signs and wonders. What some people would be laughing at today, there are some groups that would put a question mark on some of the manifestations There are some groups that would doubt, is that really from God when they see manifestations taking place in some churches like Church of Blessed? And they're asking, is that really from God? Well and good if it stops with just that question, is that really from God? The worst would be when they say that it's from the devil. But if you will study the ministry of John Wesley back then, John Wesley was not an orator. Or at least he was not in the caliber of a George Whitefield, who was known as an orator, who was known as a mighty preacher, whose booming voice can be heard up to 2-3 blocks away without the use of microphones and speakers. Powerful speaker George Whitefield was, not John Wesley. John Wesley was more of a pastor teacher. I am a pastor teacher, by the way. You remove this mic, I have a hard time booming my voice. Thank you, Lord, for microphones and speakers. But John Wesley was a teacher. But there was something unique about the ministry of John Wesley, in that when he speaks, people will just listen. And they will listen. And as they listened, one by one, by the way, I forgot to mention, they would be out in the open fields. And back then, there were no monoblock chairs. It was not like bring your own chair. When people find out that John Wesley is in a particular town, they just go there. Andiyan daw si Wesley. Si John Wesley. So they go there. They go there. And because they don't have their monoblock chairs, I mean, they don't get to bring their benches made of heavy wood. So they stand. They stand on open air. John Wesley starts to preach. And these people, while listening to him, for no apparent reason, while listening, people would just fall under the power of God. Pug, 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 pug. There would be occasions wherein John Wesley will warn people before he starts preaching. I'm requesting those people who went up the tree, some of them would do a Zacchaeus thing, so that they will have a better view. Akyat sila ng mga puno. And John Wesley will tell them, I would like for you, if you please, come down from those trees. Because Holy Spirit may come. I don't know what's going to happen. May mga tao mahirap pakiusapan, maski Kristiyano. Not in this church. Everybody's just so obedient and so... But he'll tell them, I'm requesting you, please come down from those trees. I understand this is a packed crowd, but it's for your own safety. Sometimes they don't listen. And while preaching, Holy Spirit power falls upon the people. Pug, 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 pug. They fall under the power of God. It's been happening. What some would criticize as falling or being slain in the spirit, John Wesley doesn't call them slain in the spirit. He calls them falling under the power of God. And when they fall under the power of God, they start jerking. They start twitching. Like they start shaking and all these things. What some would call high arte. No, it's not arte. These are manifestations that have been taking place back then in the ministry of John Wesley. So somebody asked John Wesley, Mr. Wesley, what's your secret? Why is it that wherever you go, people would always flock to where you are? And if you will read his journal, something that is a common thread in all of the cities and towns that John Wesley went to, it was always this. It was either there is a riot or there is a revival. Either one, riot or revival. But it cannot be said that nothing happened in the city. It cannot be said. It's either there's a riot or a revival. Of course, I love revival. But there would be occasions wherein, just like they would take the Apostle Paul away from a particular city because there's a mob waiting for him to kill him. The same story for John Wesley. They're waiting for him. There have been attempts to stab him. There have been attempts to stone him to death, attempts to drag him out of the house. Like I'm reading the life story of Heidi Baker, the same thing. Either there's a riot or a revival, but nothing, no place where nothing happened. Now let's look at ourselves. Lord, wherever I go, what happens? Sabi nga nung anak kong si Wesley, in our home, there are dishes that need to be washed. We're having dinner. And then I ask the question, who will wash the dishes? Crickets. Like, silence. Silence. It was never that way in the ministry of John Wesley. Wherever he went, something has got to happen. Why? Because when the power of God comes upon a particular place, something will always happen. You go to that office, you go to that school, you reach out to that neighbor, there will always be something that will happen. Somebody will be blessed, somebody will be healed, somebody will be stirred up, somebody may get mad, somebody may debate you, but one thing we know, we cannot stay for a status quo. Something has got to happen. So going back to that question, Mr. Wesley, why is it that wherever you go, people would always flock there? People will always be there and listen to you, and hundreds come to Jesus. The simple answer of John Wesley is this: I set myself on fire and people watch me burn. If you're on fire for Jesus, something has got to happen. We cannot really say that we're on fire for Jesus and nothing's happening around us. Merong tatablan at tatablan at tatablan. Let's English that. There will be people who will tablet and tablet and tablet. Got that, John? Somebody help me talk to John after the worship service. Definitely people will be affected by your life and your message. That's tatablan. Amen. We have an assignment to fulfill, one soul at a time.